Take a knife to a gunfight.
I like that. That's good. Yeah.
You know, grew up the youngest of 10 children. They might can tell you, these are my two sisters back, or two of my sisters back here. Right. I don't remember us really throwing down fighting, and I don't really remember any of my brothers getting in a fight. Now, I got in a fight when I was in the sixth grade coming home from school, and I just knew I was going to be in trouble when I got home. Because I was the youngest. I seldom got in trouble. My mother knew everything I did wrong. My dad didn't. Broke a window one time. Ran in the house, got my library books, and ran to the library. Nobody was home. And my mother was probably in her 70s, and she asked me one day, she said, "Are you ever going to admit to breaking that window?" Nope. Not going to admit it. Didn't do it. Didn't do it. Well, she knew I did. My dad, I had him convinced, but not my mom. So, you know, we never really fought as kids. But after that one fight I got in at school, it was on my way home from school. Didn't really get in much trouble for it. But I remember my dad telling me, if you get in a fight, you better win the fight, because that's going to be less trouble than if you lose the fight. And that's where we're at in our spirituality.
Yes,
we've got to win the fight.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
We fight daily. Daily, we have battles that we fight.
Right.
You know, we have to understand battles first. You know, we're in war. We are in war. And when we win that war, is when we go home to glory. We won the war. We might win a few battles. We might lose some battles. We've got people in heaven that won battles, that lost battles, but they won the war. They're already home. They've got their badge of honor.
Amen.
So, you know, to understand warfare, we have to get ready for it. Now, we don't send our police officers out without protection. Nope. We give them their breastplate to put on. This thing's heavy.
Yes,
we give them their tools that they need. All the breastplate to protect them. We give them their utility belt. They gave me the smallest utility belt we got. And I know because we don't have any officers this skinny. That's why this one's not getting used. But it's the utility belt that has all their tools. It has their place for their handcuffs. It has a place for their baton. More handcuffs. Tear gas. Extra magazines for their weapon. It's got everything they need to protect themselves and to protect you. This is what God gives us. This right here is our basic instructions before we leave Earth. This is what God has given us to follow.
Amen.
It's to fight our war. Amen. This is what we use.
Amen.
And again, I've used this Bible when I've preached before. Thank you to Jackie's dog for chewing my Bible, but she needed to get in the Word that day. Apparently, she needed to chew on the Word. So, I'm going to take this thing off. Got to take my glasses off again. But this is heavy. Oops. God's going to attack us. I mean, not God's going to attack us. The devil's going to attack us. Satan's going to attack us. He's going to attack us in our family. He's going to attack us in our finances.
Yes.
He's going to attack us in our health. He is going to attack the churches. And when God attacks, or when Satan attacks a church, he's going to split that church. And when he splits a church, it's going to bust hell wide open.
Yeah.
We used to have a lady that went to this church. Her husband did all the air conditioning when the church was built. Marge and James Hoffman. Well, Marge was in the hospital up at Hughley one day, and I happened to be up there taking care of some work for the funeral home. And I stopped by to see Marge. And she had just come out of surgery. Deborah, I think you were there that day in her room. She had just came out of surgery for having her leg amputated. She hadn't went to church here in a while. And, you know, when you come out of surgery, you say things that, you know, you might not normally say. And she looked at me and she said, "Do you know why I don't go to the Assembly of God anymore?" And I said, "No, Marge." And she said, "Because I don't want to be in another church that's going to split." Little did we know, 4, 5, 6 months later, this church split. Some of us went to other churches. Some of them went up on the highway to the new church they built. Some of us found other church homes. But she knew that that church was going to split. She knew that Satan was coming after the church. He's coming after us. And we have battles that we have to fight.
Right, yeah, right.
So we got to kind of like know about the battles. We've had war since, what, 1776? They didn't call it a war. They called it a revolution back then.
Right.
But then we've had other wars. We've had the War of 1812, the French and Indian War, the World War I, World War II, the Korean War.
Yeah.
They were all wars. They had battles. And then we come up with the Vietnam conflict. Conflict, war, it's all the same thing. It's a battle.
Yeah.
It's what we're at, and it's what we have to defend ourselves from.
Right.
Who knows what, Riley. What's Webster's? You know what Webster's is? A dictionary. Webster's is today's Google. They don't have dictionaries at the school anymore. We got Google. So, Webster says, a battle is made up of smaller components of the bigger picture. Battle involves combat between two persons or two groups. So we are in battle daily. We're in battle with society. You know,
yeah.
I tell you, hats off to these teenagers today. I couldn't be a teenager today and go to high school. I couldn't be a young person today in my early 20s. It is so different from when we were in our teens and in our 20s.
Right.
I couldn't do it. I would not survive it. So, we have to put on our whole armor
right.
of God. We have to fight the spiritual warfare.
Amen.
So, we have to ask ourselves, do we even want to fight this battle? Some battles, you know, God knows. He knows every battle that we're going into.
Right.
He knows everything. He knows how it's going to end. So why not just get it out of our head, like Amber said, give it to Him. Lay it at the cross. It's done. It's over. But in our physical minds, we can't do that. Sometimes we just can't do it.
Right. That's right.
So, it will do us no good to educate ourselves on the battle if we see no reason for the fight. You know, some battles just don't need to be fought.
That's right.
Some things you just need to leave it with God ignore it. Ignore it. Because it's not worth your time to stress over these little things.
Right.
It's not worth it.
No. Come on.
You've got bigger battles to fight.
That's
You're
right.
needed elsewhere. War is very controversial today in the physical realm.
Right.
The attitudes, the beliefs, and the convictions that we teach our soldiers, we need to have those same attitude and convictions in our daily life to stand up for our beliefs and to know what we're standing for. Because if you don't stand for anything, you're going to fall.
Amen.
So, there's a battle going on regardless. Regardless of our opinion of the battle, we're either going to come out of it one of two ways.
That's it.
We're going to come out of it victorious, or we're going to come out of it the victim. You know, I'm sorry, I hate seeing these people. Yeah, I glance through Facebook, but I hate seeing these, oh, poor, poor, pitiful me. Nothing goes right. Nothing's happening. Oh, poor, poor me. I'm sorry. Grow up, put on your big girl panties, and get on with it. Quit fighting over little stuff. Look for the good in it.
Come on.
There's good in everything.
Great.
My husband used to say, don't look for the dog poop, look for the flowers. I've said it a million times. Look for the flowers, look for the good.
All right.
Because there's going to be bad everywhere. There's bad all around us.
All right.
But we have to look for the good. We have to find the good. You know, you can have the worst prisoner in prison, the worst criminal, and he may be fixing to get executed. But there had to be something good in his life. Somewhere there had to be something good. We've got to find the good in everything.
Yeah.
Don't look for the bad. There's plenty of bad around us. We don't need to look for it. It's going to come. We don't need to look for it. Okay. Jesus came to conquer. The war is already won. We're going to have battles to go through, but it doesn't matter. Jesus has told us our war is already won. Jesus told us in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He died on the cross and gave me that power. He gave you that power. And Marshall, he gave you that power. We have won the privilege of having an eternal relationship with God. Many of us enter into the covenant of salvation by grace. By the grace of God, I'm standing here. By the grace of God, I am here. When I was born, the umbilical cord was wrapped around my neck. By the grace of God, I am here because he saw something 62 years ago, what he needed in me. I didn't know it until the last maybe 10 years what he needed in me. But I'm willing to give it. Every day is a victory achieved by knowing and believing and understanding the battles that we endure daily. Regardless whether we are passive or aggressive. Me, whoops, did I turn it off? Me, I want to be aggressive in my battles. Somebody, I go to Quick Trip every morning. I don't know if you still go every morning or not, but I do.
It's been a while.
I was in there the other morning, And one of the girls said, "You came up in conversation this morning." And I said, "Really?" I said, "Okay, I hope it was good." She goes, "Well," she goes, "yeah, one of your police officers was somehow or another, you came up in the conversation. And he said, man, she's one mean lady." You know what? If I got a police officer saying I'm mean, then I'm being aggressive. And I am an aggressive person. People will say, my daughter would tell me all the time, "Mom, don't get that attitude." Well, it's not attitude. I'm aggressive. I tackle everything I do full force with aggression. Yeah, I'm going at it. I'm going at it. I'm going full force. They're sitting back there laughing at me because they know. They know this was their life growing up. They know I'm aggressive. And I'm not going to let the battle go by if it's one that needs to be fought.
All right. All right.
Do you want all that God gave us? Do you want it now on earth? Do you want your blessings now? Or do you want to wait till you get to heaven? I want my blessings now. And it, you know, a blessing can be something so small that you don't realize it, that it was a blessing.
Right.
That car that just ran that red light is a blessing that it didn't hit you or you didn't hit it.
Yeah.
That is a blessing.
That's right.
Yes. Come on, it's true.
You know, this is good. We know we're going to get our main blessing when we get to heaven. And also, if you get a blessing or you give a you bless somebody on this earth, don't tell anybody. You don't got to tell anybody.
No.
Marsha, you didn't know it until the day you did Ricky's funeral about all the vehicles that he gave away. Everything he gave away, the houses that he gave away, the pieces of property he gave away, because he didn't need that blessing right now. He waited and he got that blessing when he got to heaven. You don't need to brag that you blessed somebody. Oh, somebody in Dairy Queen, they were in line in front of me or behind me and I brought their meal for them. I blessed them. No, you just lost your blessing. You just lost it. Because you can't, it's nobody's business but yours, theirs, and God.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to get your blessing. You're not going to get your blessing about bragging about it.
Come on,
so, we have the natural realm and the spiritual realm.
Right.
So in the natural realm, oh yeah, we want to brag on what we did. Woo! That's the flesh. I bought that those people's dinner. You know, we want to brag about it. Bragging about it ain't what does it. Pay it forward, so maybe they'll pay it forward. But we have the spiritual realm. We can't see it. But we believe in it.
Right.
Many believers and unbelievers don't want to deal with the world. If I can't see it, I don't care about it. I can't see that war in the Ukraine right now, but I know it's happening, and I pray for it. Pray for the people there. It's like a child. Amber, do you play peekaboo with Aiden under the blanket? When Aiden's under that blanket, he can't see you. He thinks you can't see him. But you can. That's like our spiritual realm. We can't see it, but we know it's there.
Yeah.
We need to act aggressive in our spiritual warfare.
Yeah, all right.
According to Hebrews 11:13, I like this. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
Yeah.
What does that mean? We have an intense sense that there is more than what the eye can see. The doctors can't see that cancer in your body, but they can put it under a microscope and they can see it. It's more than the eye can see, but it's there. So that's the way we have to look at our spiritual warfare. It's there. We might not see it, but it's there. Sometimes we fail to believe in it. Like Amber said, when we let our thoughts take over our mind and we let depression set in, we're falling in our belief. We have to say, devil, get out of here. Not today, Satan. Today's not your day.
That's right.
If we don't believe in it, then what are we going to do? We cannot be aware of everything that's going on around us. But God is. God is. Jesus is. He knows how the battle's going to end.
Uh-huh.
He knows. It might be a small battle. We might not win it. Might be a big battle and we might win it. Whether we choose to believe in the existence of spiritual beings and places does not change the fact of their existence.
That's right.
And their activities.
That's right.
My husband told several times of meeting an angel in the hospital at Harris Hospital when he went in to have part of his lung removed. An angel talked to him. He didn't know at the time it was an angel. And he went back to the hospital and asked for that nurse. We don't have a nurse here by that name. We've never had a nurse here by that name. He goes, no, he was here. He walked me from my pre-op room or from the lobby back to my pre-op room before my surgery a couple weeks ago. She says, no, sir. We don't have any men nurses that work on this unit. It didn't happen. He goes, I know what happened. Then he realized it was an angel that had talked to him before his surgery. Whether we choose to believe in the existence of angels, spiritual beings, is up to us. Personally, I believe in them because as bad as I drive, I know I've got an angel that helps me to stay on the road. I might not stay directly between those two white lines, but that angel keeps me on the road.
All right.
As Christians, it takes faith for us to believe in Jesus Christ. We cannot see him, but we believe in him, and we believe that he died on the cross for us.
Right.
We believe that God raised him from the dead. And we believe that he alone is the source of eternal salvation. All those beliefs are not physically seen by us today, but we believe Jesus accomplished these things in the spiritual realm while he lived in the physical realm on earth. He was still doing miracles in that spiritual realm. So we need to believe.
Amen.
In Daniel 10:7-17. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them. So they fled to hide themselves. Daniel, the only one that saw it. He saw the angel standing before him, and everyone else felt the terror and fled from the scene. Daniel was granted an access to see to hear and to speak spiritually as he could communicate with that angel.
Uh-huh.
Man, back here on two different Wednesday nights, when I wasn't feeling real good, and one right before when I was going to have my nasal surgery, Tina laid hands on me. I couldn't see what was happening, but I could feel that spiritual healing going into my body.
Amen.
There's something that was going on in the physical. Don't know. But in the spiritual, I know she was laying hands on me. We clearly demonstrate the workings of invisible spiritual realm around us. God keeps that protection around his children. He keeps it around us. We can't see it. It's not like we're going to walk a boom and bump into it.
Right.
No, we're not. But we know it's there. The Lord is with us, and he provides with us through his angels.
Right.
As he chooses. The Lord loves us. He protects us physically as he works it out spiritually. People are still going to get sick.
Right.
They're still going to get cancer. They're still going to, things are still going to happen.
Right.
They're still going to have that car wreck. But God's going to protect them.
Yeah, man.
It's a test. So that you have a testimony to pass on to other people with your spiritual warfare. We must be extremely careful not to delve into the places with the wrong motives. You know, I could say a prayer, "Dear Lord, let me go home and let there be a 2023 Corvette sitting in my driveway. Please let it be there." It's not going to be, because God knows I don't need it. I'd be dangerous with it. That's why God's not going to provide it. But that's the wrong motive. That's the wrong motive. Before that quarter auction for Bailey, I prayed over it, and I prayed over it, and I prayed over it. What did that produce? It produced money for the family. That's something that God says, yes, this is what your prayers are for. They're for the good. But prayers to make us, you know, I pray daily to be a better Christian, to be a better person. That's something that God works with us on. But if we're praying for, you know, "God, I could sure use that 70-inch TV. So if you could bless me with some overtime this week, I'd go buy that 70-inch TV. No, that ain't what God's looking at. That's not what he's in the business for. The Bible strictly, explicitly warns against the practice of spiritual fascinations. Yeah, I'm fascinated with the Rangers. I watch them every chance I get. When I get a chance to go to the game, I go. But God doesn't bless me with season passes, because that's a fascination you don't need. He's going to bless me with the things I need in life. I don't need all the extras. God knows what we need.
Yeah.
And he's going to give it to us. God exists in an invisible place for us, but he's there.
Yeah.
But along with God in that space is Satan. We can't see Satan, but we know he's there. We know he's there. When he comes at us and attacks us, or he sends somebody into our life that we really thought that we had a good relationship with. And as long as we put or quit giving what they needed, they're gone. They didn't need us anymore. That's Satan. So Satan is right there, right alongside God, fighting with us. He's attacking us daily, all day, every day. You know, I'm sitting there at work, and Lord knows, God, I hope my boss isn't watching this because I'm doing it, sharing it on Facebook.
Oh, boy.
But God is good. I watch Facebook sometimes. I got my little Alexa on my desk. I watch, you know, certain shows on Netflix that are appropriate, you know. I'm not going to watch anything crazy. But God knows what I'm doing. You know, he knows that that's my shortcoming. My daughter told me last night, Mom, get off TikTok. You're going to sit out here. You're going to be out here for an hour watching TikTok. Well, I watch craft stuff on TikTok. I love TikTok. I didn't know what it was until a few months ago. And I love it now. I didn't know what these memes were that you sent on your phone. And once I learned about them, choom, choom, I was sending them 5 and 6 times a day to Jackie. She told me, you can only send one a day. I told her yesterday, are you going to be there tomorrow morning? She said, well, maybe. And I said, well, if you don't, I'm going to ugly cry. So I found a meme of a baby ugly crying, and I shot it to her. So, you know, we can use Facebook, we can use texting for the good.
Amen.
It all doesn't have to be for the bad.
Right.
You know, and if it's something bad, just block it. Take it off. You don't need to see it.
Amen.
And don't dwell on it. Don't dwell on the bad. We don't need it. You know, the demonic forces want to lure us into their deceptions of power in spiritual activities. Oh, come on, you can do this, it don't matter. There used to be a comedian, I can't think of his name, and he had an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other shoulder. Sam something. And it talked to him. And the devil would say, come on, you can do this, you can do this. It won't hurt, you can do this. The angel's going, but if you do that, you can't do this. You know, there's always... the devil's in one ear, God's in the other ear. You just got to turn that hearing aid off or block that ear so that you don't listen to the devil. But the devil can be Satan, the evil of the day, can be a very horrible influence on our kids today.
Yes, he can.
What they're teaching them in our schools, what they're allowing to happen, what God has allowed to happen right around the corner over here at the United Methodist Church. It's going to happen. But we have to put on our spiritual warfare.
Amen.
We have to not get involved in the horse. You know, everybody said, did you read your horoscope today? Or what sign are you? I don't know. You know, or the psychic phenomenon. Somebody, you know, they used to have those commercials on TV, and I think they still do, about the California psychics. You know, call this number. It's only $1 a minute. But then that $1 a minute ends up being 1.5 hours or 2 hours. You know, people think something's innocent, but they're not there. They're looking at it in the physical realm and not the spiritual realm. Because you know what? I don't need no fortune teller.
No, we don't.
Don't need one. I know where my story's going to end.
Amen.
It might be a little rough getting there, but I know where my story's going to end.
Amen.
However we're involved or we've ever participated, how many of y'all my age or older, you went to a slumber party as a kid and they had the Ouija board? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know. No, I don't need no board with 3 or 4 little girls around pushing the thing around saying, you know, what's going to happen. Don't need that. The spiritual realm involves unseen forces.
Uh-huh.
It's unseen. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, when you get up in the morning till you go to bed at night, you do not know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. But you know what? God knows.
That's right.
God knows. There would have been no need for Jesus to come and die on the cross for us if God wanted all these forces to take over. But no, He wants us to fight a spiritual warfare. He wants us. Jesus told us to pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. He told us that the gates of hell will not prevail against the work that God has purposed for us to accomplish.
Amen.
And He is willing to work it out in our lives. But are we going to hit opposition? Oh, yeah. Around every corner. So we need to understand that the battle is not against our flesh and blood, but the battle is against our spiritual realm. The powers of heavenly places, as we begin to get a revelation of spiritual warfare, we will begin to understand how the enemy moves against us in the physical realm. The devil doesn't want us talking about our spiritual realm. He doesn't want us. He doesn't want us to be in this house this morning. But we're here because we want to be in the spiritual realm. Job was a perfect example of spiritual conflict that was manifested in the physical form. Job was a real human being living on earth, but the Bible gives us a clear look at what was happening concerning Job's life in the spiritual. God said, "This is my perfect son." The devil says, "No, he's not. Let me show you all of his faults." Job became the victim of Satan's attacks. Job's family, his finances, and his home was destroyed. And his health and his friends turned against him. I said, no, we don't want none of that. We, as believers, are told not to conform to the norms.
That's right. Yeah.
How others live to please God, who is not of this world. Jesus said in John 17, 14 through 16, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world." The devil doesn't want us saying, "No, that's wrong. That's not biblical." Remember several years ago when the Southern Baptists met at their convention and they wanted to take one of the verses out of the Bible. It was the verse about the man shall honor the church as, you know, the man as, right. No, they didn't want that anymore. No, it's in the Bible. Yes, there's several translations of the Bible, but you've got to find the one that is true to what God wants. There's some Bibles that leave verses out.
They do.
But you know what? And I'm not a big King James person, but when I need to know something, that's the Bible I go to. Because it's not going to have things changed and left out. You know, "I have given them the word." God's given us this. We've got to take it with us and use it daily.
Ma'am.
I do not pray that you should be taken out of this world, but that you should keep me from evil. God's not going to take all the evil out of the world, because that's our test. That's our battles. He's going to fight them for us. He's going to be there to help us through it.
Uh-huh.
The biggest thing is we have to listen.
Amen.
When God talks, we have to listen.
Amen.
Do I always listen? Nope. I get a little stubborn. How am I going to do that? You know, when I told Marshall that I had a message to give, I had it almost written, honestly. I can't even find it on my computer. Don't even remember what it was, because God gave me this.
Wow.
Actually, I can't even find the computer that it was on.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm getting an evil look back there. Yeah, so I can't find the laptop that I had it on, because God gave me this. He says, nope, you're not doing that. You're doing this.
Wow.
We as Christian, God's children, are God's children. Thus, if the world is in conflict with God, the world is also in conflict with us. Remember, war, battles, are conflicts. The prayer of John 17 expresses that the heart of Jesus, as he knows the battles that we will face in this world,
yeah,
the world hates those of us who follow Jesus. We're not called to be of the world, but we are sent in the world to be a witness for Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
There's a miraculous calling, and it takes the miracle of the Holy Spirit living in us to fulfill it. It also takes training to discern between the ways of God and the ways of the world.
Uh-huh.
Basic instructions before leaving earth. This is the word of the Lord.
That's so good.
This is what we have to follow.
Amen.
We naturally think all the time. We think in the natural. It's difficult for some of us to think in the spiritual. But we need to transform our ways into God's ways.
Yeah.
Jennifer, did I give you Romans 12 and 3? For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. My measure of faith is different than your measure of faith. It's different than your measure of faith, Marshall. God's ways are not natural to us. So sometimes we don't want to listen. We can constantly need to crucify our natural inclinations and desires to receive all that God has for us. If I keep wanting this 2023 Corvette, then I'm not going to get what God wants me to have.
That's right. Come on.
You've got to let go of what God doesn't want. Listen to him.
Yeah.
Let him be in control.
Yeah.
I don't remember. It was a book or something that was written many years ago. God is my co-pilot. You know, I don't want him as my co-pilot. I want him as my pilot. And you know, that's on my bucket list. I've really been thinking lately about going and taking flying lessons. Just let me fly one time. You know, I don't drive a car very well. Maybe I can fly. But No lines to follow. That's right. But I'm praying on it. Because if God doesn't want me to, it won't happen. If God wants me to, the funds will be provided and I will do it. But if he doesn't want me to, you know, I'm not going to take money from something else to say, well, there's these five flight lessons I want to take. Because, you know, it may happen, it may not, but it's going to be God's will.
All right.
God's gifts are far greater as they are filled with his love and his joy and peace.
Oh, wow.
Than any gift the world offers.
That's right.
Satan will say, I'll give you that Corvette, that 2023 Corvette, if you do this. And he's going to make it really, really enticing. But you've got to say, no, that is not what I want. The world promises instant satisfaction and pleasures that fulfill the desires of our flesh. A tempting offer, but one that Christians must be constantly on guard against.
That's right.
You know, we have a man that comes to our craft shows, and he'll be at the quarter auction here, hopefully, for the youth group, that makes these really awesome little cabinets, and they have little hidden drawers behind them. You pull out one drawer, and you don't know it, but on the bottom of that drawer, in the back, is another little drawer. Just intricate woodworking stuff. And it's beautiful. And he tells me, Cliff tells me all the time, he says, you're capable of doing this. Why don't you? I said, because I want instant gratification. I don't want to wait to the end. I am that type of person. I want my rewards now. I want to see it now. That's not what God wants for us sometimes. He wants us. There are battles that he wants us to go through. You know, we think, man, why am I here? I couldn't work in a nursing home for very long because you would see all these elderly people in just horrible, horrible shape. And it was, God, how could you allow this to happen? Were they not worthy of you? When I'm driving Uber and you drive through Dallas and you see all these little tent towns and all these people that live under bridges, you think, what went wrong? What went wrong in their life that they're there where they are? Did they not have a belief in you? Did they not believe in you? There is a lady in Oklahoma that she's very wealthy now, and she's in her 30s. Maybe, no, I think she's probably in her 40s. Her name's Teresa Knox, and she owns a big mansion in Oklahoma that she comes in. She rents it out like a hotel. She owns a big music studio. But when she was in her early 20s, she was homeless and living in her car. You know who she gives all that glory to where she's at now? Not Satan. Not her. She'll tell you, I did not do this on my own. I could not do this without God. She had the spiritual warfare to go forward, to correct things that were wrong, to do what was right, to turn her life around. The final review, well, let's see, what I can't read my writing. To remain to the finish, we have to protect ourselves from letting Satan into our heart and into our head. He can get there just on the littlest thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be honest. And Brandon, I've talked to you about this. My main thing, and I say it all the time, I could not live near Shreveport, and I could not live near the Oklahoma border or in Oklahoma. I know I have an addiction to gambling, but I can't, so to, you know, I don't go to those places very often. Very often. But it's Satan that tells me, come on, you can come on in. $20? $40? What's that? Come on in. You can buy that lottery ticket. $20? What's that? And then I got my little angel saying, uh-uh, don't do it. Don't do it. That's $20 that can go to something else. Don't do it. But if we let Satan in, just give him an inch, and he's going to take a mile. Forget about a foot. He's going to take a mile.
Yes, he
is. And he's going to come in, and he's going to take over. We don't need that. The battle of spiritual warfare is intense when a person decides to accept Jesus as their Savior. The enemy will attack from all angles, hoping to persuade you or move you from giving fully your heart to Jesus. He will use circumstances that exist. He will use your past. Every little thing that you've done that maybe wasn't right, he will use your past to bring it forward, to bring it up again and again and again. The seeds that are sown in people's hearts will either take root on good soil, which is a heart fully surrendered to the Lord, or they will be sown in places where the word is snatched away from them until they fall away. The types of battles that we fight in the world involve spiritual forces of darkness that exist inside of our invisible realm. The forces of darkness are going to come at us. That's what Satan is. He's a fortress of darkness. It's not just him. He's got many of his angels too. He's got many of his workers. But we have to put up our spiritual realm to keep it out of our life. Once we're made aware of the world's influences and how they constrict God's ways from us, we must learn how to operate in the world as a true follower of Christ, a true believer. It is one thing to be naive to the world's deceptions, claiming innocence or ignorance, but once the truth is revealed, we have that responsibility to obey his directions. He has directions for us. He has plans for us. We will suffer in our flesh whether we feed to its desires and deny its pleasures. We are constantly battling between what we want to do versus what we know the Lord wants us to do. And we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the blood of Christ has saved us from destruction. The battle is waged against us, but we are given the power to overcome it, to overcome sin's grasp. Amen. We just have to grab on to that power. Amen. The lady that dealt with the issue of blood, she reached down and touched his garment.
Yes.
She grabbed hold of that power.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do. We need to grab hold and hold on like there's no tomorrow. We need to grab on like you're on that worst roller coaster at Six Flags. You got to hold on like there's no tomorrow. When I get off of a roller coaster, my palms look like they are cut from me because I hate them. But that's how we have to grab our spiritual warfare and our fight for Jesus. We have to grab hold and fight for our lives. Colossians 3, 8 through 13. Did I give you that? Yes, I did. 3, 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, yes, filthy communications out of your mouth. Much. Okay, we're not perfect. I am not perfect. I am far from perfect because I only know one perfect person. One perfect person, and he died on that cross so that I can be here today. Yeah. I'm not perfect. A word may slip every once in a while. I'm not perfect. I'm telling you, I'm not perfect. And neither are any of y'all.
No.
Nobody's perfect. The Lord has given us His Spirit who will empower us to overcome. But we must be willing to allow Him the authority to be in control of our emotions and our behaviors.
Oh, God help me.
I'm going to let, sometimes I let my emotions get away from me. Ooh, you make me mad. And I'm going off. But I let my emotions get away. We have to give it to God.
Yeah.
Step back. Take a deep breath. And think about it.
All right.
Because that next thing that you say,
oh my.
Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus.
Words can hurt. They hurt worse than anything.
Oh, yeah.
I've always said, that kids are some of the cruelest little creatures that God ever created. Some of them are. Some of the kids today, I mean, Ubers now, used to on Uber it was, we could reject a ride if it was a teenager. If they weren't 18, you weren't supposed to pick them up. An unaccompanied adult had to, or they had to have an adult with them. So if they didn't, you didn't have to pick them up. Well, now they've changed the rules and you got to pick them up. Some of the things that come out of these kids' mouth and the way they talk about their friends and each other, they're the cruelest little creatures that God ever created. He has a reason for them, though. They just might not know what that reason or that path is right now.
Yeah.
And hopefully, when He gets a hold of them and He puts them in the spiritual battle, they'll know what they're there for.
Yeah.
We suffer in our flesh, whether we feed its desire or deny its pleasure. We are constantly battling between what we want to do versus what we know the Lord wants us to do. We've all sinned and fallen short of God. There is no battle when there's not an opposing side. If you don't have an opposing side, you're sailing free. But there's going to come a battle. In our spiritual life, there's going to come a battle. The Spirit God brings to us, to our life spiritually, yet we live in these bodies of flesh. How can that be? We're in a fleshly body. Do we have a fleshly mind or a spiritual mind? Sometimes my spiritual mind sticks aside, my fleshly mind lets it take over. But we've got to stop. Lay that flesh down and stay in the Spirit.
Amen.
The battle rages in our lives, in the lives of believers, but the victory is assured because we are in Christ. Christians are not living the abundant life of love and joy and peace because they're unaware of how to maintain and to claim these promises. There are so many Christians I don't know if you call them Christians, but come to church twice a year, Easter and Christmas. Maybe three times a year for Mother's Day if we're lucky. You know, three-day-a-year Christians. They don't know how to maintain and to claim these promises. Jesus promised us an abundant life that starts here on earth. Until we understand the forces that are against us and we're prepared to fight for what is rightfully ours, we will not be able to claim all that God has for us. Jesus Christ came to this earth in the flesh. He lived on this earth with much suffering as he denied the desires of his flesh and the temptation of the enemy. When him and the devil were in the garden, he said, "How can you live on bread alone, bread and water?" Jesus didn't need it. He was living on his faith in his Father. He knew what was coming. He knew how his life was going to end. He could have stopped, but he didn't. He went on and he died on that cross for us.
Yeah.
The victory might not look the same as defined by the world, but nothing compares to a life that is victorious in the ways of God. Think about it. Do you want the desires of your heart fulfilled? Do I want that 2023 Corvette? I'd look good in it too, especially if it's pink. But nothing compares to the desires of having our heart full. Do you want to know what God, whether he heard your prayers and he answered them? Do you desire to be all that God wants you to be? Because he is so good that he only gives us good things. He's not going to give me that 2023 Corvette because he knows it would be a bad thing. He knows I'd have a wreck. I'd have a ticket. He knows. He knows what's going to happen. And you want to have all that God wants you to have because he only wants the best for you.
Oh my.
Don't you want to lean a little closer and get in on these blessings that God has for us? The greater things than Jesus did. We will know all the greater things that Jesus did by drawing closer to him and loving the Lord more. Don't let anything prevent you from being all that you want to be or from receiving all that you want to receive. Then you have to accept that there are forces set against you to prevent you from having these things fulfilled to you. And that is where your spiritual warfare comes in. And we've got to fight those forces in the spiritual realm that are coming from the fleshly, worldly realm.
Wow. Yeah.
We've got to keep within our spiritual realm and keep our spiritual warfare on constantly.
Amen.
Y'all stand. I'm going to pray over our spiritual warfare. Lord, there are parts of me that do not want to understand the spiritual realm because it seems too scary, too foreign. However, I do realize that I am not where you want me to be. I want to understand what it takes to be victorious. So as I ask that you give me a discerning spirit, and I ask that I can be equipped to become victorious. Open my eyes and my ears and my heart to hear, and then change me for eternal purposes. Change me so I can help change someone else, so that I can lead someone else to you. In Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. I think we've received from the Lord today. Amen. Amen. Wow. Help me to change